Our journey. That's our conversation today. I needed to calm down and follow me with this story because we're going to chronicle this. And I'm doing this especially for those who weren't around when all of these things started. I don't know why we don't teach these things in our primary or secondary schools, but I think our history should be as important as English language, should be important as mathematics, should be as important as economics. History is everything. Histories are like your footpath, are like your being, your existence. So if we don't, I think we should start taking it as priority, our history. Well, it all started with Major General Ibrahim Baramosi Babangida, IBB. IBB came to power on 27 August 1985. He came into power through a palace coup. That palace coup overthrew Major General Muhammadu Buhari at that time. That was in 1985. In January 1986, Babangida and his Armed Forces Ruling Council, AFRC, initiated a transition process. What did they say at the time? They wanted to return government to civilian rule. They targeted at that time October 1990. Remember, they took over in 1986. So 4 years, they said they would return to a civilian rule in October 1990. A decree in 1987 established what was known as the National Electoral Commission, NEC. Now, the National Electoral Commission, their job was to oversee the electoral process. The IBB government also established the Political Bureau. This Political Bureau is a long story, but let's just cut it short. It was meant to proffer advice, offer the military government guidelines, advice, you know, guardians on how to proceed with the transition. From the target date in 1990, Babangida proceeded to shift the handover date to 1992. Initially, he had planned to hand over in 1990. Then he moved it to 1992. He said, it's necessary for transfer to civilian rule. Nigerians moved on with him, albeit there were grumblings here and there. The government continued to move the date of the civilian handover. At one time, it was set for January 1993 and then 27th of August 1993. Now, through Decree 25 of 1987, IBB banned politicians and public officials of the Second Republic from participating in the new era, the new political activities, especially of the Third Republic as it's known. In May 1989, Babangida lifted the ban on political parties. You must know that there were several attempts to overthrow Babangida. It's a long story, but let me just, you know, cut it short. But then what is synonymous then was that all the attempts made to overthrow him at the time, they were foiled by the IBB government. There was one led by Major General Mamoun Yousa in 1987. There was another one in 1990. That was led by Major Gideon Orkah. Those attempts were foiled. Now let's go back to the transition process. So IBB started creating new states in preparation for the Third Republic. He created a new state, increased it from 21 in September 1987 to 30 in September 1991. As he was creating these states, he was creating more local government as well. Local government doubled to almost 600 by 1993. The process started growing. The process of returning to democracy started growing. You remember I mentioned earlier that IBB in May 1989, Babangida lifted the ban on political parties. Remember? Oh, well. On the pronouncement of that decree, this led to several parties springing up. Several political parties submitted their applications to NEC, the Electric Commission at the time. The Electric Commission, you know, their job is to, you know, sift through all of these applications. By the time the NEC was done with screening these political parties, they came up with six political parties. But then somebody wasn't happy, because in October 1989, Ibrahim Baramosi Babangida, IBB, rejected the six political parties submitted to him by NEC. Because, I mean, it was still military regime, so the NEC will only do their bid and submit it for approval. So that's what NEC did. But IBB threw everything into the dustbin. What was his excuse? He accused all the political parties of being ethnically and regionally polarized. That was his excuse. So in December 1989, IBB went on to form two new parties. The National Republican Convention, NRC. Down here, they call it Egbeleye. And the Social Democratic Party, the SDP, they call those ones Egbeleshi. Lagos, good morning to you. I'll be right back. Stay here.
It is All Talk
and More Talk
on Nigerians' number one talk station.
This country needs a marshal, you know, needs a sheriff.
In some particular societies, especially in my tradition, a woman is not allowed to inherit land.
Issues that get your attention.
This thing has been a carryover for the time of Jonathan.
Yeah.
I can continue this billions.
Your views against all odds.
My worry is that why those households, why are they not following up their job? Like
the intense conversation.
It has to be given to her now based on sentiment. These are some of the challenges that women go through on a daily basis.
Okay, bro.
And that
okay,
is
bro.
Again.
All and more on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back. Happy Democracy Day to you. Here is our chronicling of our history, our journey to democracy. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Before the short break, we stopped at 1989. We're traveling. We had a stopover in 1989, when IBB created the National Republican Convention, NRC, and the Social Democratic Party, the SDP. Let's move on. So local government elections were held because activities started almost immediately. People started joining these parties. Fast forward to the nearest future, local government were held, state government elections for houses of assembly and governorship elections were held. All of these between 1991, 1992. In August and September of 1992, presidential primaries were held. But again, Babangida cancelled it. He cited electoral fraud. The candidate who participated in the 1992 elections, presidential elections, were Lieutenant General retired Shehu Yar'Adua and Adamu Shiroma. They were both barred completely from contesting again by IBB. Now, following this development in 1992, NEC had to start all over again. So a new round of nomination process started. Now, this time it was different because this time it was a knockout contest, straight from local to national level. A particular mode of voting was used at the time. It's called option A4. We'll call it open ballot, where people openly vote for who they believe in. You see them queue up, and electoral officials will count them head after head. No cheating. You queue up behind the posters or whatever it is they used to indicate the candidates, and they will be counted. That was what was used back then. Now, this entire process resulted in the emergence of Bashir Tofa. Bashir Tofa was a businessman from the north who represented the Republican Convention, the NRC. And Moshood Kashimawo Olawale Abiola, popularly known as MKO Abiola. He was a multimillionaire, a media mogul, world-renowned businessman as well. He represented the SDP. Both were Muslims. No fight, no quarrel, no argument at the time. There was some sort of perception that both candidates were kind of very close to IBB. That's why IBB allowed the election at the time. That was a perception. Though Abiola was widely known throughout the country, Tofa, on the other hand, was relatively unknown, except from where he came from, Kano. Tofa picked as his running mate an individual known as Sylvester Ogo. Sylvester Ogo is a Christian from the southeast. So in their minds at that time, they wanted to create a regional religious balance, which was achieved. Same thing happened to Abiola, who went for Babagana Kingibe. Babagana Kingibe was a career diplomat from the northeast. So they picked their own running mate, and then the journey started. On the 10th of June, just 2 days before the election, please note down the name of this organization. They are known as, or they were known as, Association for a Better Nigeria. They were led by Chief Arthur Nzeribe. Chief Arthur Nzeribe and his association, at that time, they went to court. They obtained a high court injunction. They wanted to stop the election. According to them, they said there were massive corruption, vote buying, and the rest of them. The chairman of NEC at the time, Humphrey Nwosu, very dogged individual. Very, very dogged. He dismissed that injunction. He said, High Court, they don't have authority on election-related matters. So, Humphrey Nwosu's neck went ahead. They conducted that election. Observers came in from everywhere. And the election was adjudged to be free, fair, and credible. Let me state here that record of the election showed that voter turnout was quite low. There was voter apathy. About 35% out of the entire registered voters cast their ballot. 35. So it was low. In addition to this, because it was the first time in a long while elections were conducted, so there were expected administrative lapses, expected political problems here and there, all across the country. But one thing that also was significant during the election was that there was no episode of serious violence at that time. After the conduct of that election, right, so the next thing would be to start counting, Abby. So elections results were counted. Then NEC began announcing the first batch of election result on the 14th of June. Are you following me? Thank you. In the earlier result announced, Abiola won 19 out of 30 states and the Federal Capital Territory. He won all the states in the Southwest. MKO Abiola. Out of the 7 states in the Southeast, he won 3. Out of the 9 states in the Northern region, he won 5. He even won in Kano, the home state of his challenger, Tofa. Then he won 4 out of the 7 states in the Central Middle Belt at that time. Now, for proper context, from the 6.6 million votes that had been announced by NEC at that time, Abiola had received about 4.3 million and Tofa had 2.3 million. If Abiola had been declared the winner, he would have been, at that time, the first southerner to be elected as president of Nigeria. The first. Remember the name of the association I told you earlier? They went back to court to obtain another court injunction a day after the announcement started coming out, 15th of June. They prayed the court to stop the counting of elections. This injunction was sent to INEC, to NEC rather. I want to head out now to a break. Stay with me. When we return, I will tell you what the outcome of that engagement was. Nigeria Info, 99.3. I'm Sharif Quadri.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's 8:38 from our studios. Let me see if we're doing treasure hunts today. Let me check very quickly. Okay, there's no treasure hunt today. All right, so let's move on. So, we stopped at that association led by Chief Arthur Nzeribe. The Association for a Better Nigeria. I told you they went to court for the second time a day after vote counting started, 15 June. They went to court and prayed the court to stop the counting of ballot. Now, the injunction was sent to NEC. The first injunction, Humphrey also dismissed, like I said, that court ruling, or order rather. But this time, however, Humphrey Nwosu's neck obeyed the injunction. They announced on the radio, Radio Nigeria to be precise, on the 16th of June, that NEC was suspending the announcement of the result. Ha! Suspend what? The entire country. You could feel, you could touch the tension. It was palpable. However, though, the final vote was leaked on 18th of June by, call them democracy activists at the time. In that leaked result, Abiola won the elections by a 58% majority. Unofficially. This was all done on the 16th of June. On the 24th of June, IBB annulled the election. Cancelled it. He cited issues of vote buying, just the same thing that Athon Zeribe's association went to court to go and complain about. According to him, he said that there is a need to protect the country's judiciary. Let's fast forward to what happened then, after IBB annulled the election. There were a series of violent protests. In July, all this happened in June. The following month in July, I told you, the tension was palpable because everybody could see what was coming. Then when IBB now announced the annulment, I can't forget. No. I can't forget. For those who witnessed that time, you'd understand. The entire Southwest was boiling. In fact, IBB shut down media houses. Many journalists were arrested, some killed, allegedly. Others fled into self-imposed exile. They ran. Pandemonium. Soldiers, boots on the ground. The government issued decrees preventing court cases on the annulled election. In fact, the Electoral Commission, NEC, was cancelled. While all these were going on, international community wasn't quiet. There were condemnation after condemnation. The UK, the US, the European Union, they acted very swiftly. They suspended aid to Nigeria. The Commonwealth also jumped in on it. But guess what IBB government did? They accused the foreign government of trying to meddle, that they were the ones that instigated whatever that was going on at the time. Many people spoke up, brave men and women. They put their lives on the line. You may not know them. We know them. We recognize their sacrifices for what we enjoy today. We will always, forever appreciate their sacrifices. Nigerians are brave people. We are brave people. In early August, in fact, before we get to early August, Olusegun Obasanjo, former military rulers, Muhammadu Buhari, Olusegun Obasanjo, 10 other former generals. They were part of an association. They called it Association for Democracy and Good Governance at that time. They issued a joint statement. They demanded the removal of Babangida from power at that time. But they didn't go unpunished. No, they didn't go unpunished. In early August, Abiola flew to London and Washington. What was he doing? He went to seek for international support for his presidency. He subsequently returned a month later. That was in September, 24th of September, to be very precise. When he returned, there was another wave of civil unrest in the Southwest. Banks, markets, private businesses, public buildings were all shutting down. The pressure was so much, even on Babangida himself. The pressure was intense because people didn't keep quiet. Nigerians abroad, Nigerians at home, Nigerians in exile, the international community. Ah, Nigerians are brave people. No. If you witnessed that moment, you'd know. Eventually, 26th of August, Babangida resigned. He handed over the affairs of the country to an interim national government. That was headed by Ernest Shonekan at that time. I think Baba is 80 now, I think. He should be 80. At that time, Sonny Abacha was serving in that interim government as defense minister. And Sonny Abacha was actually a very close confidant of Babangida. So, Shonekan started his work. He set a date for another election in February 1994. On the 17th of November 1993, it happened again. Sonny Abacha toppled Shonekan's interim government. It was a bloodless coup, you know. Yeah, Abacha dissolved legislature as well as the state and local government. He replaced everything. The elected civilian state governors, he replaced them with military and police officers, and He also banned all political activities at the time. Abacha established two governing institutions. He established the Provisional Ruling Council, PRC, and the Federal Executive Council. Abacha's cabinet at the time was composed of civilian politicians. Babagana Kingibe, Abiola's running mate. Yes. Was Abacha's foreign minister at that time. Abacha was doing everything to calm people down. He made promises. In fact, he proceeded to create a constitutional conference for a transition to civilian rule. A few months after that coup, that Abacha coup, June 1994, Abiola was arrested. He was charged with treason. You know what he did? Why he was arrested? He declared himself president and commander-in-chief. The moment Nigerians got wind of his arrest, protests started again. Strike actions started again. Workers in petroleum sector, they shut down. Banking sector, they shut down. The academia, they shut down. This strike lasted for 9 weeks. In fact, as expected, the strike by the petroleum sector crippled the economy totally. What did Abacha do? He responded by arresting the leaders of these unions. In March 1995, Abacha's government announced an alleged coup attempt. Olusegun Obasanjo, Sheu Musa Yar'Adua, Bekoro Asankuti, and many others were among those that were arrested for that coup, and they were secretly tried. Some were sentenced to death, some life imprisonment. In October 1995, Sonny Abacha, set a time frame of 3 years to hand over power to a civilian government. But he couldn't see it through because he died on the 8th of June 1998 under some weird circumstances. There was jubilation. There was celebration. There was There was joy. Everybody was excited. People threw parties, instant pop-up parties everywhere. It was like life has just been breathed into Nigerians again. It was like, you know, when you're suffocating and suddenly you could breathe again. The country was happy. We were excited. We could see the future. We could almost touch the future of this country. Then we were hit by another blow. MKO Abiola died a month later. He was in detention. He died on the 7th of July, 1998. Kai, it was painful. People that didn't know him, never met him before. People cried. People wept. The nation, the entire country, was in mourning. People mourn privately. They mourn publicly. They cried privately. They cried in groups. Suddenly, that future that we saw was nowhere again. We couldn't see, neither could we touch. Hope vanished. It was painful. Very painful. Fast forward to now, right now, 4 years ago, in 2018, President Muhammadu Buhari, well, he's not a civilian president, under the Fourth Republic, declared June 12, the date of the annulled 1993 elections as a new date for the celebration of Democracy Day. The previous Democracy Day was May 29. May 29 was the date for the return to civilian rule in May 1999 following Abacha's regime. That's our story. At least part of it. We've come a long way. We have a longer way to go. And together we'll do it. I'm Sherif Quadri. I'll see you tomorrow at 5. Good morning to you.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.